I'd like to wish all our fathers here today a very happy Father's Day. Please know that Father will be remembering you in a special way in the Mass this morning. The epistle for the third Sunday after Pentecost, the Sunday within the octave of the Sacred Heart, is taken from St. Peter's first epistle, chapter 5. Dearly beloved, be humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of visitation, casting all your care upon him, for he hath care of you. Be sober and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist ye, strong in faith, knowing that the same affliction befalls your brethren who are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect you and confirm you and establish you. To him be glory and empire forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15. At that time the publicans and sinners drew nigh unto Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke to them this parable, saying, What man of you that hath 100 sheep, and if he shall lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the desert, and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, laid upon his shoulders, rejoicing, and coming home, call together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. I say to you that even so there shall be joy in heaven upon one sinner that doth penance, more than upon 99 just who need not penance. Or what woman, having 10 groats, if she lose one groat, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, calleth together her friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, because I have found the groat which I had lost. So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. What man of you that hath 100 sheep, and if he shall lose one, doth he not leave the 99 in the desert, and go after that which was lost until he find it? Words taken from today's Gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, I would like to begin by telling you a story, a true story, about a priest and a great sinner. It is a story about mercy and forgiveness. The story was printed many years ago by a priest of the Society of the Divine Savior, more commonly known as the Salvatorians. The story took place in Paris in the early 19th century in the wake of the French Revolution. Before the doors of a magnificent church in Paris, a poor old beggar would stand on the street. He had become a familiar sight there. Day after day, he pleaded for alms from the passers-by. Most of the people were kind to him, for he really was a helpless old beggar. He did not say much, and no one even knew his name. No one even bothered to ask him. Over time, however, he came to be called Old Tom. Some even caught a glimpse of a small gold cross that hung around his neck. But no one really bothered to speak to him. It was at some point that a young priest was sent to offer daily mass at this particular church. You see, my dear people, there was a grave shortage of priests at this time throughout France. Even in Paris, which ordinarily had an abundance of priests and consecrated religious. But on account of the French Revolution, Many priests and religious, in the name of freedom, were executed or exiled. But this priest began coming to the church each day to provide Mass and the sacraments. He struck up a friendship with the old beggar, who, even to this priest, never offered his name, but was content to be called Old Tom, even by him. The priest, whose name we are told was Father Paul, was very kind to the old beggar, even as the old beggar came to reverence and even love this priest. One day, however, on coming to the church, Old Tom was not in his accustomed place. In fact, several days passed, and the old beggar did not appear. The priest, filled with concern, began to inquire among the parishioners and people in the neighborhood. And from them he learned that Old Tom, as everyone called him, was sick and was dying. After learning where the old man lived, the priest made his way across Paris to what was the poorest part of the city. He came to a broken-down tenement house and found Old Tom in a small room at the top of the stairs. When the priest knocked and entered the room, he found him lying on a filthy bed. He especially took note that he was indeed failing, and that Old Tom was not long for the next world. But a look of joy suddenly flashed across the dying man's face as he slowly uttered, "Father, you come to see me?" "Why not?" said the priest as he closed the door and walked towards the bed. "Do you think I would desert my friend when he needs me the most?" The old man teared up as he struggled to sit up in his bed. He said to the priest, "If you knew who I am, you would never, never come to me. Father, I'm a vile sinner. I've committed an awful crime. God has even forsaken me, and he's right in doing so. I am doomed," he said. "What can I hope for in the next world but punishment and torment?" "What are you saying?" Father Paul gently said to him. "God is good. God is merciful. God is forgiving. If you have done wrong, be sorry for your sins and make your confession. God will forgive you. He is good." But the old man only said with greater conviction, "Oh no! There's no hope for me. He will never forgive me. Never, never, never." And as he said these words, he shrieked and trembled in his fear. "Why should he not forgive you?" Father Paul asked. "Surely you are sorry." And then Father Paul asked him pleadingly, "Are you not sorry, Tom?" "Sorry," moaned the dying man. "I've been sorry for these 30 long years, ever since the day I committed that crime." "But Father," he said, "if you could listen to me now, I have to tell someone. My sin is always before me." And with these words, the old beggar, now at death's door, poured out his heart and revealed the secret sin that he had kept buried within. 'Twas during the revolution, 30 years ago, I was the honored and respected butler of a wealthy and noble family in Paris. But then the bloodshed came. The nobility and the rich were hunted and sought out, executed. Executed without trial. My master and mistress, oh how kind and loving they had always been to me, they were hidden away. Their daughters and their young son too. But I knew where they were. When it was announced that whoever would betray them should have all their property, and then with no little emotion, the old man shrieked and said, "I betrayed them. I reported them to the authorities. I handed them over to the revolutionaries. They were discovered, and I watched as they were carted away to execution. I saw them all led to the guillotine. I saw their heads struck from their bodies. The little son alone was spared. He was a very little boy. Paul was his name." But no sooner had he said these words, the eyes of the priest widened as he suppressed a cry of agony and pain. But the dying man took no note of it, as his eyes were streaming now with tears and his strength failing. Gasping as he continued, "But Father, I see them. I see them now before me. I see their blood. I see their kindness." And then pointing to the crucifix on the wall, he said, "My master gave that to me." Then holding the gold cross around his neck, "My gentle mistress gave this to me, and in return I betrayed them." He then told the priest, with horror in his voice, "They are always watching me. They are always looking at me." And then pointing to the curtain drawn across his bed. The priest arose, went over to the curtain, and drew them back. And hanging there were two portraits of a man and a young woman. Father Paul, now pale and trembling himself, drew the curtain again and returned to the bedside. And as he seated himself and pulling himself together, as it were, he slowly said, "God is good. God is good, my friend. Confess now, and all will be forgiven. At length, trusting the good priest, the old man made a good and sincere confession. He confessed this terrible sin that had weighed heavily upon him all these years. When he heard the words, "Ego te absolvo," which in English means, "I absolve thee," he felt the merciless guilt lifted from his heart. And for the first time in over 30 years, he knew what it was to have peace. "Now," said the priest, turning to him, as this man was soon to die, "as God has forgiven you, so I also forgive you with all my heart." The dying man, a bit bewildered, peered into the eyes of the priest that were now moist with tears. And the priest very slowly said to this man, "Your master was my father, your mistress, my mother, their daughters, my beloved sisters, for I am Paul. I am that little boy who was spared so many years ago." And at these words, the dying man cried out in an agony as he stretched out his arms towards the priest and embraced him. And in the arms of this good priest, he felt his forgiveness. And moments later, he breathed his last as the priest gently laid him back down upon the bed. But not before he had confessed and received the mercy and the forgiveness of God and that priest. Today's gospel, my dear people, tells us of our divine Savior teaching the Pharisees a lesson, teaching them something they had no idea about: mercy and forgiveness. These things were foreign to their hearts. And St. Luke writes that Christ was speaking with sinners. He was even eating with them in a public place. These sinners had drawn themselves to Christ. They came to him, attracted to him by his mercy. And when the scribes and Pharisees came upon the scene, they openly criticized Christ in front of all the other people standing around, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And why did they do this? They did this in an attempt to lower the esteem and the love of the people for Christ and to build themselves up. But our Lord responded by telling them the two parables in today's gospel, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the 10 groats. And the meaning of the parables is the same. It is simply this: something of value is lost, someone goes in search of it, they find it, and they rejoice. These parables were meant to teach the Pharisees and us today that the essential mission of our Lord and Savior is a mission of mercy. And that mission of mercy is to seek sinners, it is to save sinners, it is to forgive all sinners who repent. The church places this gospel on the Sunday following the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, whose Sacred Heart, as we pray in the Litany, is a heart full of infinite mercy. It really is kind of a mystery, my dear friends, how much God loves the souls of men. How much He loves us. And how He wants so much to be loved by us now and forever, one day in heaven. It's as if He were so anxious that we love Him now, and He can hardly wait to be loved by us for all eternity in heaven. When you consider that God is infinitely perfect and infinitely happy, and yet He goes in search of the souls of men, sinners. He goes in search of sinners. That is, those who have rebelled against Him. And when He reaches their sinful hearts, He offers mercy and forgiveness. And if men accept His grace, that is, if they are sorry for their sins, He fully forgives them. That is how much God loves men. That is how much He loves each one of us. That God the Father should send His only Son to us. And that God the Father should watch as His Son suffers and dies for our sins. That He should watch as Christ pays the price for our crimes and saves us from hell and for heaven. How much God must love us. And in His infinite love, how much He wants to be merciful and forgiving towards us. It is a mystery how much God loves us. Father Paul, that good priest, like another Christ, sought out that old beggar, Tom, as he was called, and when he found him dying in his miserable room, he offered him the mercy and forgiveness of God, and he even offered his own. Even though the man dying before him was responsible for the cruel murder of his father, his mother, and his two sisters. And thus, as a priest and a Christian, a true follower of Christ, he offered his forgiveness. How we too, my dear people, must forgive from our hearts everyone who has offended us or hurt us in some way. We must forgive everyone from our hearts. But if that priest was so good, if that priest was so merciful, so forgiving, how much more is the Sacred Heart of Jesus? How much more good, how much more merciful, how much more forgiving is Christ? Did you know that each and every mortal sin committed is a personal offense to Him? It's personal. It's not what I could call a company offense. personal offense. And yet, in his infinite mercy and love for us, he does not, as it were, take it personally. Unlike us, who so often take offenses personally, unlike us, he is always so ready and so willing to show mercy and to grant forgiveness. My dear friends, in his infinite love for us and his infinite desire for our salvation, our God and Savior is so merciful and so willing to forgive. But we must do our part. We must accept his mercy, and we must be sorry for our sins. We must ever strive to love God more than anyone or anything. We must be faithful to our daily prayers. We must pray in time of temptation, and we must be sorry, as I said, for our sins, and have a true purpose of amendment, changing our life, giving up those persons or those things that we freely bring into our own lives that can and will nonetheless cause us to sin. We must give up these occasions of sin. And why? For the love of God, who loves us so much. May we then love the Sacred Heart of Jesus more and more, and have confidence in his mercy and forgiveness. Even as we are devoted to him and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, who is the Mother of Mercy, and our life, our sweetness, and our hope. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.